that he's born again. Everyone that's been saved has been given that gift, the gift of God's grace. But wherefore, he saith, he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. So we have that statement concerning every one of us. And then he says he gave gifts unto men. Now, gifts may differ from talents. They do differ from talents to some degree. Talents are natural abilities, but of course, natural abilities can be developed, and these natural abilities are enhanced by several things. They're enhanced by education, and they're enhanced by practice, by training. And so, you know, we can enhance the natural abilities that God gives to us. Their talents are a little different than gifts. They're not, we're not talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit for service that he's giving you when we're talking about talents. He may lead you, he will lead you to use those talents, those natural abilities that he's given to you in serving him. But the service gift that you may have is likely different from what the talent is that you have. So in the service gifts, you have some motivations concerning using that and how it operates in you. We're going to look at that. We're going to be looking at those things. But the talents we have, you know, so we are given those in, you know, as we say, natural, but of course, God is in it all. He made you like you are, and he gave you in yourself, even before you were saved, he gave you some abilities that are better in you than they might be in others, and so it is. So we have those talents. We have gifts, and we have talents. What are your talents? We ask that question. What are your talents? There's some folks that, you know, just seem to be able to pick up an instrument, and it isn't too long before they're able to make music with it. My father was that way. He could pick up any instrument and just mess around with it for a while and get playing a tune with it, whether a piano or guitar or an instrument, a brass instrument or whatever it was. He had that ability that was natural. Now, he wasn't living a Christian life, wasn't serving the Lord with it, certainly. He's played in honky-tonks and bars and such with his guitar and, you know, square dances and such like that. So he certainly wasn't using the talents that God gifted him with, or God that he was born with, that God created him with. He wasn't using those for the Lord at all. So that's true of talents. You can use talents rightly and in good ways, or you can use them wrong. In negative ways. So talents are distinguished a little bit from the spiritual gifts that we're going to be talking about. But the Bible goes on and says this concerning spiritual gifts. In the biblical sense, we're referring to, when we're talking about gifts, we're referring to God-given abilities, which he gives us to serve the Lord in his church. So look at 1 Corinthians 12 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 4. The subject, of course, of chapter 12 is the spiritual gifts. Verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts. There's many different service gifts, and there's, even in the context of this passage, they're talking about sign gifts also, as well as service gifts. Sign gifts and service gifts in the context of 1 Corinthians 12. But the point I'm making is there are many diversities of gifts, but he says the same Spirit. Then verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So the spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit. They're given by God through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And so they are sovereignly bestowed. These gifts that are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the believer are sovereignly bestowed. They're bestowed by God in the person of the Holy Spirit, but they're not something that we pick and choose. You know, we might like this gift and the way it operates better than this one and the way it operates, and so we might say, "I want to covet this gift. I want to come after this one." But that we don't have that prerogative. The Bible makes it clear that these are bestowals that the Spirit of God gives to us, gives to every man severally as he will, as you can see in the ongoing passages there. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 7, the diversity of gifts, same Spirit, but the manifestations are manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To profit with all. And in the context of gifts, we're going to see that the gifts aren't given for you and me to profit personally. You know, we're not given gifts in order to make ourselves rich or to make ourselves more well-liked or to enjoy our own life more. That's not why we're given gifts. They're not for our profit, but they're for the profit of the body of Christ. And so we'll see more specifically as we go on down. As I said, they're sovereignly bestowed. In verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, on the same page that you're there, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, individually, as he will." So it's as he will, not as we will. So you're in my study of the gifts of the Spirit are going to, go into detail, all 20 or so of the gifts. And you and me are probably going to see ones that we said, "I wish I had that," or I'd like to be that one. I'd like to do that. Now, it's possible. The Lord doesn't say he gives you just one gift and that's it. Generally speaking, we tend to see that over the course of ministry. You tend to see, one predominant area that people just focus in on. They gravitate toward one particular gift, but sometimes there are others operational. And certainly when you look at the gifts, you say, well, all of those are things we should be doing as Christians, All of those are things we ought to be doing. We ought to be, practicing hospitality. We ought to be merciful. We ought to be teaching, somebody, somewhere. We ought to teach something to somebody. We ought to be profiting. Exercising the gift of prophet. We ought to be declaring the word of God to others. And so all of the gifts are something we should operate in, we should do. But there's going to be one that God particularly endows you with, or maybe two that God endows you with, that you would see everything through, that you'd see everything in life through, as a believer. So it's important for us to understand, though, how they come about, who they come from, and how that they're not something we're to try to work up in ourselves or try to beg the Lord to give us. He gives them to every man severally as he will. So every one of us has that. To every man the prophet, and over and over again, 1 Peter 4:10 says it this way: "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So as every man received the gift, he says, now the first thing you got to do is to consider how that you can minister that gift one to another. And so you see the orientation of it there. You see the way it's directed. We don't all have the same gifts. He makes that clear even when he's talking about the sign gifts and the service gift. He makes that clear in the same chapter, verse 29. Look at that one. He says, he asked the question, and it's a implied answer. And an implied answer, he says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" And of course, the empirical answer to all of those is no, 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 no. He's correcting the church there at Corinth because of their, mess that they had, all seeking the show gifts, the showy ones, the ones that, were public, the ones that were grandstand, the ones that took the stage, the ones that were mystical and magical seeming, They were used to that. That was the kind of thing that they'd come out of. The Corinthian believers all came out of paganism, and they'd all seen mystical, magical stuff happening. They'd seen, the work of devils, and they'd seen it. They'd worshipped at the temples of devils, and so they'd seen all of this kind of thing and all these kind of weird manifestations and so forth. And that's, they thought, well, if we can have that in a Christian context, we want that. And so we had that kind of thing going on there. And so Paul's correcting them and says, look, all don't have all these gifts, and all are not gifted with these service gifts or these sign gifts. They're given to every man severally as he will, and they're given to profit with all, to profit the body of Christ. And so we don't have the same gifts. And then along with that, all gifts have had or now have a purpose. All gifts either have had a purpose and they've ceased, or they now have a purpose and they're still operational in the church. There's still a motivation. There's still an operation. There's still a purpose for those gifts. And as you study the scriptures, you're going to find time and again, when it speaks to us concerning the gifts, that they're never self-focused. They're never self-focused. They're always oriented outward from us. So the gifts come to go. You know, they come to go out. They come in to go out. They're not for you to feel better. They're not for you to, you know, have this ecstasy, and not for you to have the good feelings. They're not for, you know, us to profit ourselves in any way. They're for us to serve others and to serve the Lord. So that's the distinguishing feature you see on spiritual gifts, and the orientation is always others oriented. The big problem, though, you know, at the Corinth church was their, as I said, their flaunting of the spiritual gifts as a matter of pride, as a matter of their supposed spirituality, you know, to demonstrate, well, I'm holier than you are because I do this or I do that, or I, you know, have, you know, manifestations. I speak with tongues, or I interpret tongues, or I have, you know, the ability to understand, you know, the tongue as it's spoken. I can interpret for you, or I can stand before a crowd and speak the word of God, and all these things they wanted. They coveted really the showy ones, the sign, the obvious ones. There weren't too many of them that were coveting the gift of helps, you know, or the gift of mercy. There weren't too many of them saying, I want that one. I want to serve others. I want to help people. I want to stay behind the scenes and never be recognized. They wanted the ones that, you know, were out there. And so the correction in the book of Corinthians is related to that. And that was a great problem in the early church. So we had the right motivation. I was trying to get motivation and mortification in the same word. So, but the right motivation is to have that desire for service, and it's others oriented. And the prophet, he says, he's talking about the prophet. To profit with all is in the context. If you look the context, look at the full context. It's in the context of the body of believers, the church. You know, there that he was telling them to profit the building up of the church. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Look at that one. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So he's talking to the body of believers, ye, plural, and he's saying, if you're going to be, as a body of believers, zealous of spiritual gifts, if you want to be a church that exercises spiritual gifts, then seek to excel in the area of edifying others. So that's what the motivation and the orientation of our gifts should be. Look at back at Ephesians 4 again in verse 12. You were there just a minute ago. Ephesians 4 and verse 12. Ephesians 4 and verse 12 on down through verse 16. He said, and he's talking previous to that, he's saying that these apostles and prophets and evangelists and, you know, pastors and teachers and whatnot, he lists some of the people in God had placed in leadership there in the church and in their lives with the apostles and so. But he says these offices, these gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, those things, he said, those were given to the church. And then in verse 12, he says, here's what they're given for. These offices were given to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so you see the orientation there. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, till we're complete, till we're everything we should be, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, in whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the whole orientation there is to the body, to the strengthening, the building up the body of Christ, the church, you know. And so it's all about that. It's all about growing up in Him, growing up to be like Him, you know, and growing up to look more and more like Christ, and as a body of believers, filling out the body of Christ, you know, having all the parts functioning like they should function. And so the scripture makes plain the comparisons over and over again about the church and the physical body of Christ. The representation, the manifestation of that on earth is the local church, you know. And so over and over again, he talks about that. He gets down to the specifics of members of a body. You know, when we get in the 12th of Corinthians, 12, 13, 14, he gets down to the members of a body and how each member in the body has a function. And if they function like they're supposed to function, the whole body works better. If some of the members are not functioning, the body isn't functioning to its full capacity. So the whole impetus of Ephesians, this passage we just read, was Paul saying to them, look, we need to have this unity. We need to have this oneness. We need to have this direction all being the same. We need to be going, you know, not 15 different directions, but one direction, all the same, in harmony and unity, step in step and in sync with one another, doctrinally, spiritually, you know, as far as our service of our gifts is concerned. All those things need to be there. So we don't want to end up, you know, being like some of these outfits that become just a conglomeration of doctrinal, you know, hodgepodge and just a mixed up mess where, you know, there's all kinds of debates and arguments and schisms and divisions. I'm of this one and I'm of that one and I follow this person, I follow that person. And it is, you know, it becomes an unworkable, you know, it's like the YMCA or something instead of a church, you know. It's just a group of people gathered together to argue about things, you know. So, and that's not what he intended. He wants us to be in harmony and coming to the stature of the fullness of Christ, that the body is fully matured and grown and all the parts are functioning, and there's not the division and difference between, I want to be like this one, I want to do that, I don't like this job, I want to do that job, I want to have this thing, or I'm not going to serve at all. That whole business gets solved when we function in the capacity that the Holy Spirit gave us our gift, and we're using that in serving, you know. The people that play in the orchestra here, some of them had those natural abilities already. They picked up their instrument, and they worked on it, and it came, you know. Those of you that play instruments, some of you have done that, and others of us, we can play. I can play an instrument, but I didn't have that natural gift for it, that natural ability, natural talent for it, you know. And so it's, and I haven't, you know, worked as hard as I could on it either. But there's others that have that and pick it up and develop it and use it. You know, those of you that are playing in the orchestra are doing that. You may have been a natural talent for it already and developed that and are using that to serve the Lord. Others of you in the orchestra are playing instruments in specials and so forth. May not have had the natural talent, but you just by discipline worked at it, and got it down and did it. You know, and served. So either way, but you know the difference in yourself, whether it was a natural ability that God gave you from birth, or if it's something you just had to work up and work on. So the that's what we're talking about. The sole purpose of a church, of a spiritual gift, is the edifying of the church. So we're gonna look at three considerations as we look at this in more detail. Three considerations concerning the spiritual gifts. One is the motivation behind the gift that God has given to you, and we'll take a look at the motivation behind that, the basic motivation or the ability that God places in every member of the church to express His love to the Lord and through that church. So these motivations really are, you know, what's brought out in Romans chapter 12. We'll look at that. And then we'll look at the ministries, the administration of the gift, the ministering, administration. The root of that word is ministry, serving. And so we're going to look at that. It's the same word that you get the word deacon from. The term deacon, diakonos, means a servant of the church. And so, you know, the deacons are specifically put in the position of the body of believers as servants of the people, servants of the church, serving alongside with the pastor, and having that service orientation. So we're, you know, going to look at how the gift you have would be administered, how you would minister through that gift or with that gift, the motivation and the ministry, how you administer and through that gift. And so we'll spend more time in 1 Corinthians related to that and where we were in Ephesians. And then the operations, when the Bible speaks of operations, talking about how those gifts are manifested out, how the actual fruit comes out in the lives of others to whom we minister. You know, how does your gift of teaching or your gift of mercy or your, you know, gift of helps or your gift of the prophet, how does that look when it is functional and when you're using it right and when you're using it within the context of the body of believers, how's it, where's the fruit? What comes from that? What results from that? So that is what the Bible calls operations. We might use the term manifestations. The apple on the tree is the manifestation of what kind of tree that is, the fruit that is produced. You know, we don't know it until that season comes around and that apple goes through the process of growing and becoming ripe and full. So the context of the manifestation is what the apostle was talking about in Ephesians, where he says you want to grow to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. You know, you want to fill out the body. You want the fruit to be ripe. You know, you see in the parable of the sower and the seed, there's two seeds sown that didn't take root at all, aren't there? Two that one was on the path and got trodden underfoot, the other one got snatched away by the birds of the air. But there was two that did bear fruit. There was two that didn't and two that did. But there was only one that really, you know, was everything it could be, and that was the one that was in the good ground, and it brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And then the one behind that, it bore fruit too. But it said it brought no fruit to perfection. So the fruit was there, but there's things that caused the fruit to be diminished, withered, and not. There weren't a lot of fruit, and it wasn't fully developed fruit on that tree. And you remember what it was that caused that? You remember what it was? You know, it said the weeds choked out the tree, and it couldn't develop. It was shaded and it was covered, and the weeds were taking the water away, and it was not able to develop and get mature fruit. And then he comes over and he says, what those weeds are is, he says, you know, the cares of this life, and the lust for other things, and it's all the things that come up in day life that we let get in the way of growing like we should as a Christian, you know. So all of us have those weeds come in all the time, you know, and choke the fruit that it beareth not much fruit. That's the other parable. The other gospel says it beareth not much fruit, you know, and so not much, and then it is withered. It's not fully developed. So as a church, you know, we want to see a body of believers that's bearing much fruit. We want to see missionary sent. We want to hear, you know, accounts of missionaries bringing people to Christ, and our work in the labor of the day-to-day work we do and our giving. We want to see that happening, and that's what we're talking about, full fruit. And we want to see it happening not just here and there, but more and more and always increasing, you know. And we want to see believers that are growing. We want to see new believers coming to Christ, and we want to see young believers growing and maturing in Christ. We want to see all that happening in the local church. We want to see it happening in the outreach ministries. We want to see it happening around the world. So that's what is, you know, that's what we call fruit. We want to see that happening and consistently happening. So that one thing that moves us in that direction is understanding our gift, understanding what the Holy Spirit has given to each one of us, and then saying, okay, Lord, I want, now that I, you know, have an idea what my motivation is, what my gift is, I want to see what ways you want me to have that operational in the body of believers where I'm serving. So That's what we come to. You know, in the ideal, perfect church where everything was perfect, the pastor would be somebody else. But if everything was perfect, and the congregation would be somebody else too, but if everything was perfect, it'd be everybody in the congregation would know, you know, where their place of service was, and everybody in the congregation would be doing that. Everybody in the congregation would be tithing. Everybody in the congregation would be given to missions. Everybody in the congregation would be witnessing every week. Everybody in the congregation would be reading their Bibles, and they would be consistent in prayer. And that would be the church that's just as mature and full. And I tell you what, there would be an effect on the whole city, an effect on the whole area, an effect on the whole state, an effect on the whole country, in a church that had all that going on. And so we know, okay, we're not there, Lord. We have a long way to go to get there. But Paul said to us as a church, he said, here's what I want to be happening. I want you to be growing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's a tall order to develop to the point where our body looks like Christ's body, and that's what he wants. So that's what we're going to be looking at in the weeks ahead for our study in the gifts, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Probably many of you already have a good idea what your most comfortable area of ministry would be as far as gifts are concerned, but it's always good to review it and go over it if you don't know it. So we'll stop there and go ahead with our prayer time. Oh, I wanted to mention I forgot to bring the letters in, but I remember most of it. Kamali Thongdi in Cambodia, I would ask you to pray for him. The Thongdi family, T-H